Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
No, I'm Johnny.
And welcome to our annual April 1st show, where we are truly going to have one of the most sickest, most disturbing movies ever made, The Lake House. Yeah. Yeah. Finally.
I'm scared to talk louder.
We really shouldn't talk any louder. Yeah.
Man, yeah, we do this one annually. When's the last time we did an April 1st episode?
Last April 1st.
Oh, shit. That's been like a year.
That's a year. It's annual. Yeah. Every April, we give this one a go. We watch the sickest, most disturbing movie you could possibly find. Because we not only do new retro, we also do disturbing movies. And there's nothing more disturbing than this movie right here.
It's true.
But we both have seen and love it.
We both love to pieces.
Yeah.
This horrific, brutal, terrifying tale by the playwright that brought you Proof, David Auburn.
Master, horror master.
David Auburn's horror classic. The Lake House.
The Lake House. I didn't know this, but it was a Korean remake. Those Americans love to remake Korean movies. So disturbing horror movies.
That's something we do. Like Ring. We do that.
Grudge.
Ring. Yeah. Grudge.
I think the. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Grudge. Those are Japanese, I believe.
But we do like to remake movies.
We do like to remake movies.
And I'm sure somewhere down the line, Americans are going to start to claim Parasite because it won America like for an American award ceremony.
Just give I it think time. They did. It's called Coda.
No, just kidding. Coda.
They did. Yeah.
Just haven't seen it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know what it's about, to be honest.
Because believe it or not, folks at home, I'm way behind in my current movies. I barely saw Spider-Man yesterday.
I haven't even seen it. So there you go.
Well, it was really good. It was very, very good. So a lot of...
Yeah?
It's such a fan service movie, but it's really, really good.
That's what I hear. And the I don't know if you're privy to this, but like the fans are being extra critical of the film look. And then be really snobby about, like, they're doing long threads about how terrible the composition and the lighting and the special effects are in that movie. Oh, I'm just like,
I mean,
like, what a trivial thing. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can kind of see what they're saying, but it's not like all the Spider-Man movies kind of have a more, like, what other Marvel movies kind of like that? They're all kind of the same. They're all purposely not hyper realistic. It's intentional because they need to cater to the PG-13 crowd.
What I really think is missing in this discourse is that these movies, yes, because the point of reference is that, this movie was $230 million. Look at how flat and like lighting it is, and the special effects are like super cheap, and like, where is all this movie? And they use like cheaper, you know, less expensive movies as examples of like better composition and lighting. Film, but I don't think, but where I think people are like missing the discourse on this is like these movies, even though they're so expensive, they're so hard to make.
Yeah.
And you have to work really fast.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, we got 20 minutes to shoot this actor in front of let's just throw him up on a green screen and just shoot it.
Like, yeah, I don't,
you know
don't
what
think,
I mean? Like,
yeah. The average moviegoer or fan of these movies does not understand. And it's like, believe me, I'm not defending producers, but or studios, But it's like when you see a budget like that and you're like, how come the special effects aren't better? And it's like, okay, you're basically saying fuck every other person on that crew. They don't deserve that much money because it needs to be allocated like an indie film, which people are like, indie films are way cheaper. And I'm like, yeah, because people get paid a shit wage. You know, like all these like fan favorite indie films that people keep talking about, like, you know, they did it for this much money. I'm like, yeah. And the person that built that set was getting paid like $100 a day. So that's how they get away with that.
There's not going to be an award for it, and they're not even going to telecast it.
Yeah.
Those awards, if they have one. So a lot of the technical awards get shunned away somewhere else. It's just about movie stars, just about like quote unquote top of the line, you know, basically another top of the line jerking each other off. But this really has nothing to do with the League.
But I was going to say, I think it's seriously worth a watch because it is a very charming, endearing movie. I thought it was wonderful.
It's pop culture. You go, you watch a movie like Spider-Man. You don't like, you know, hold its feet to the fire because the lighting's a little poor. Yeah. Or like the composition isn't great. Like, who gives a shit?
You're going to tell me you're not going to watch it to watch Willem Dafoe be the Green Goblin again? He was fucking brilliant. Yeah. And then to watch each of the Spider-Mans, they were all brilliant.
Yeah, it's just,
if you watch the What If series, it ties in.
Oh.
Which is really fun.
Wow. That sounds really fun.
And then the Lake House.
My mouse died, so hold on. Oh. Wait 1 second.
Good thing you memorized all those key commands.
Key commands. Okay. All right. So the Lake House. John, do you want to give us the horrifying plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For the Lake House. Written by David Auburn, the master of horror. Documentary of slow postal service.
Or fast, depending, I guess.
Actually, it goes both ways, depending on the year. Whatever year you're in.
Keanu, Sandra, love being watched.
Because the other character in the script, Mr. Lakehouse, is nothing but windows and maybe 900 square feet, according to what I could see.
900 square feet, amazing.
That's what I'm guessing
completely.
I don't know, but you know, because you can see the whole floor plan.
I was reading or saw a couple of interviews on the movie with them, and they were saying that they actually constructed the house. It worked apparently. Like it was like fully form working house apparently.
Interesting. Because I can see that they
it was collapsible.
It. Yeah, that's what I figured. Because I was like it. They never actually show them going into the house or coming out of it. I feel like the shots always pick up with them on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coming in kind at number 3. They don't remember the bus.
We'll let everyone figure that one out.
No, that's a good one. Yeah. So we got to dig into that let's just go through. So what I decided to do is that I'm just going to read the plot, detailed plot from Wikipedia. And we're just going to go paragraph by paragraph. Hopefully beat by beat here. And then we're just going to give our thoughts and opinions.
America's most trusted source for the truth. Wikipedia.org.
They have rock solid. They have no leaks. They're just solid group of internet.
Information curated by the best of the best.
The best of the best. I've written many. I used to write many papers off of Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. After there were Spark Notes, there was something free on the internet called Wikipedia.
Yeah. All right. So, The Lake House. I'm already fucking up. In 2006, Kate Foster is leaving a lake house that she is renting in Chicago. Kate leaves a note in the mailbox for the next tenant to forward her mail, adding that the paint-embroidered paw prints of the path leading to the house were already there when she arrived. First big scary moment here. The paw prints of the lake house.
Is it a werewolf?
That's the Chekhov gun.
Because yeah. I was waiting for werewolves. But it's much werewolf. Scarier than that. Truly, this is a tale of a stalker.
Yeah. What was the name of that? What was the name of that? Was it called Stalker? What was the name of that Keanu Reeves horror movie?
Is it, which one?
The Watcher. The Watcher.
Was it The Watcher?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It's just... he watched people. Scary. Really scary. Okay. So 2 years earlier, in 2004, Alex Weiler, an architect, arrives at the lake house and finds that Kate's letter in the mailbox. The house is neglected, no signs of paw prints anywhere. During the subsequent restoration of the house, a dog runs through Alex's paint and leaves fresh paw prints. Already, first mystery solved. Whew. The big one.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
It was just a dog. Yeah. There should be spoiler warnings in this
plot. Jeez, Wikipedia. Want to tell me what happens in the Batman 2? Yes.
Baffled, Alex writes back asking how Kate knew about the paw prints since the house was unoccupied until he arrived. On Valentine's Day 2006. So we should say there's a little bit of time travel in this where Kate is in the future or the present, right? Alex is in the past.
Yes.
Okay. So Valentine's Day 2006 or the present, with Kate witnesses a traffic accident near Daly Plaza and tries to save the male victim unsuccessfully. She impulsively drives back to the lake house, finds Alex's letter, and writes back. So,
already she's a psycho.
She's already a psycho. She ran back to the lake house. So, oh no, drives back.
So, we also got to mention this is before smartphones, right?
Right.
And
she did have a razor, like a flip phone.
That's true, but it's not before emails. Uh-oh. Emails were already alive and well. AOL
chain
was huge.
Chain mail. Yeah.
So I got to wonder what these psychopaths, these probably homicidal fucking crazy asses were thinking by writing each other letters instead of like, hey, what's your email address? Or like, give me your phone number.
Yeah. So did you notice that was looked like Keanu laying in the streets or not? I mean, we could just spoil the shit out of this. I don't think there's any. We're not building to like a big mystery box end here. But
no, I didn't pay too close attention to that. But also, like, since we've seen it several times, I already remembered it was Keanu.
Yeah, I already knew. So, it was Keanu. Little footnote to this: I did see this movie in the theater. Did see this. I did watch it alone in the theater. So
wow, you must have been scarred, just terrified to leave the theater after that.
I was. I wanted to. The theater went and rioted. The people ripped out their eyes and murdered each other.
This had to have come out during like October, right? It was a Halloween movie for sure.
Yeah, June 16th, the horror holiday of this is summer. Yeah. Okay, so both Kate and Alex continued passing messages to each other via the mailbox, and each watches its flag go up and down as the message leaves and the reply arrives as they wait at the mailbox.
That's how you know they're psychopaths. by the way. That they're complete batshit crazy fucking psychos. It's because they see a red flag raised and they just go ahead and take it. most normal people see a red flag and they're like, ooh, run away. Not Keanu, not Sandra.
Clearly, they're asking for danger here. Answering these mailboxes.
Paying all this postal, which had to have been hundreds and hundreds of dollars, I think, to travel years that quickly or that slowly.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. The post office, this is probably why the post is going out of business now, because these guys are using it all willy-nilly and not paying the postage.
I don't give a fuck.
They're just ripping the system off completely.
Good for them. Bad for America.
At this point, it kind of stuck at me that, like, the time travel element, I always thought was really rock solid, but after watching it a couple of times,
No,
this is where I feel like the time travel elements fall apart a little bit, where they're very accepting of, they're really accepting of, like, this time travel explanation as to why they're seeing each other, because they're so enamored with the letters they're writing each other. Or?
I suppose so. Because I'm also confused as to, like, I feel like the first thing either of them would have done would be like, well, we need to fucking get, like, I don't know, up the police or call the FBI or a fucking ghost adventurer person or a priest or something.
Yeah.
Confused by all this.
They were very, they're like, okay, we're getting letters from the past, no harm, no foul. I like his penmanship and the way he writes. They never, yeah. They just went along with it.
And for Sandra to just accept that he's alive or something, as a, like, why wouldn't she just check right away?
She should have just checked right away. Yeah. This was definitely a film, and, like, immediately, the first thing, this was like a real situation, which is totally implausible, but this is a real situation. First thing somebody would take out their phone and Google the person's name and figure out, like, is this person, and, you know, they would have seen what kind of socials he has, you know, where does he work? Do you have any kind of Google presence, exactly, identity on there? But this was before the internet time, so this is all plausible, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Sure.
Sure, plausible. Plausible is a strong word. All right. And then they discover they are living exactly 2 years apart. So their correspondence takes them through several events, including Alex finding a book, Persuasion, at a railway station when Kate said she would have lost it. And Alex taking Kate on a walk tour of his favorite places in Chicago via a noted map that he leaves in the mailbox, which I actually thought was really nice and romantic. Him leaving a walk they couldn't have together.
Yeah.
That was really cool. The mailbox thing, this is when I'm totally... Okay, so I'm able to, like, suspend my disbelief and go along with the romanticness of this movie when it was... Except when they start running into each other's lives. Like, they've always ran into each other's lives, right? Over the 2 years. That's when I feel like the movie, like, kind of... really stretches its believability and timeline.
Then also, I wanted something. I wanted something out of, like, the mailbox meaning more, I guess. Like, it was his dad did something that he never told him about because of his mom or blah, blah, blah. But nope, it's just, we got alien mailbox. That's my guess. Alien mailbox. It's trying to find its place on Earth, found an empty lake house, decided to settle in, and now people keep shoving shit up its ass because that's its butt.
Obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I think it would have been like a funny, like, wacko detail if they're like, there never was a mailbox. Dad never built a mailbox. Like, your brother says something like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there was no mailbox. Like, whoa, what's this mailbox here? It's like something like that. Let's see. But yeah, him seeing her at the train station and leaving the book and him already seeing her, I felt like he could have been more active to try to see her. He kind of just, like, lets it go. He's more like interested in, like, talking to her 2 years.
Also, they do a really bad, I mean, it's such a spooky job they did making the Sandra's on and off love relationship guy seem like a bad person? Like, the worst they did was she's trying to watch a romantic movie and he's just like, hey, can we just turn it down over there? Because he's trying to work. You know, it's like, that doesn't make him a bad like person. A bad thing. In fact, like, every...
So you're saying he should have, like...
Like, I don't know what this guy's obsession with Sandra Bullock was, but she clearly never cared about him. Making out with some random dude at her birthday party. Just... I don't know.
And she's like, oh, I can't be bothered with the birthday party. I don't want this birthday party. You have no romance. He should have, like, maybe... would have been more plausible if, like, he, like, slapped her around or, beat her up a little bit or, like...
or he ended up with that girl that was obsessed with Keanu.
They kind of hint at it, don't they? That they have more chemistry, low-key, kind of.
And it never happens. Oh, yeah, because he mentions, like, oh, I like her boots. I guess that wasn't a very good one either, though. That's just mentioning he liked her boots.
But he could. Mm. But in movies, things are there for reasons, you imagine, right? So you could have imagined them in some other draft. Maybe those two got together or, like, maybe. in the original.
But then I guess David Auber and I just know is a way better writer than that. So I'm surprised it wasn't like him going like, oh, hey, I like your honkers or something like that, you know, to really prove that he was into her. Yeah. Honkers means boobs. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's clear or not.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
okay.
But yeah.
Yeah,
I ended up feeling bad for that guy in the end.
Yeah, me too. I was like, the guy, and like he just shows up at his job and he's a little standoffish. She's like, rightfully so. Like, what are you doing at my job after you just kissed my girlfriend or whatever? Like, fuck you. Fuck off, Keanu. Handsome devil, you. All right. Let's see. Alex eventually meets Kate at her boyfriend's party, which we just discussed. However, he doesn't mention their exchange of letters, which was another thing. Like, dude, just mention the fucking letters. But I guess because they try to write it off because it's somehow related to this Jane Austen book, Persuasion. Have you read that? Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
No. I've never read it. I don't know what it is.
I'm not. Jane Austen did not write for people like me.
Mexicans. Got it.
Mexicans, exactly. Yeah, because whenever I read period pieces, it's like, oh, wasn't it romantic? I'm like, how rich white people lived back then? I don't really care.
That's an interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
Not for me.
Not for me. That's okay. Not the audience. And Kate later remembered the meeting as a vague memory in the past. So they have a very nice romantic scene where they dance together and kiss to a Paul McCartney song, which was really cool. Paul McCartney, A+ songwriter. I know he's a, and I think that's
he's
not
a C- person.
I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything too controversial, right? He's a good writer. I mean, you might be, but I'm not saying as much.
No, he was. I mean, he kind of was the guy that wrote all the actual hits for the Beatles.
Yeah, he's an excellent musician.
Lennon had all the, I guess, lyrics. The deep cut favorites, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. As Alex and Kate continue to write each other, they decide to try to meet again. Alex makes a reservation at a restaurant, 2 years in Alex's future, but only a day away from Kate. Kate goes to the restaurant, but Alex fails to show. Heartbroken, Kate asks Alex not to write to her again. Recounting the incident a year before, both Alex and Kate leave the lake house and continue on with their separate ways. So he didn't show up, and she's super pissed. He didn't show up. So
I know. You know, rightfully so. Like, what the fuck, Yana? Why wouldn't you show up? So what if you didn't exchange numbers or emails or even home addresses? Because fuck it. You didn't show up to this rando date that you decided to plan. You were so excited about.
Yeah.
You're so excited and you were going to make sure this happened that you forewent anything that would help communicate with each other beforehand, like normal people do. It was like they set up their own blind date, even though they had met three times before or something like that.
Yeah. They clearly have been in and out of each other's lives without even knowing. So.
So spooky.
So spooky. You know, this movie is almost exactly like your recommendation we reviewed. Was it The Call? Was it The Call?
Oh, yeah. The Call. Yes.
I think it's called The Call.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent movie. Except for the ending. The ending I did not like.
Except for the ending. Yeah, it was a little, yeah. little cheap. But,
Too much. They twisted it too much. Yeah. But, I like the idea of, again, I hated all of this, like, they've been in each other's lives and they already kind of knew each other, but she couldn't remember. It's kind of like, I feel like you would remember the person you had a innocent kiss with, right? Like, innocent sort of.
Yeah.
I want to 2 years previous. Steamy, hot kiss. Yeah. So, but yeah, so. All right, let's continue. On Valentine's Day, 2006. So now I think we're pretty much up to where we are on the day of the accident. For Alex, Valentine's Day. It's Alex's day. And we're actually now 2 years. I was just wondering about that. So they don't explicitly say, but like she, after that, she spends like a year with the guy she doesn't like, that doesn't believe in romance, that tells her to turn down his yeah. thing because he just got a new job in a new city for her. And like he's telling her just to turn the TV off because he has new work and stuff. So,
yeah.
So it's 2008 now for her. But she spent like a good year there.
I also think it's funny that they make her seem real like, oh, she doesn't do too much because all she is a doctor. You know, they don't have a whole lot of work and they don't work long fucking hours. She's just chilling with their doctor friends at a bar all the time. But the dude who, like, we really don't know what he does, he's always got stuff to do.
Okay, so it says he returns to the lake house after something about the day triggering a memory. Meanwhile, Kate goes to the architect to review the renovation plans for a house she wants to buy. Drawing of the lake on the conference room wall catches her attention upon asking. Henry Weiler informs her that the artist was his brother Alex, and Kate realizes that this was the same Alex with whom she had been corresponding. She also learns that Alex was killed in a traffic accident exactly 2 years ago, to the day, and realizes why he never showed up for their date. He was the man who died, dun dun dun, at Daily Place.
Wow. He is Joe Black.
He is Joe Black.
Yeah. That's the scene they cut out, that very realistic scene of Brad Pitt getting hit by two cars. Not at all comedic.
I mean, it's all the. At the time, I thought that was a really like fucked up scene. Watching it back.
Because I remember that. It was one of the few scenes that they were able to like cut and just like spread all over the internet, pretending it was like a real live clip. And everybody was like, oh shit. But that's because, you know, our video quality was like 210p or something.
We still had boob tubes.
Like well below four. Yeah. But yeah, so she remembers, she freaks out, runs away from her old boo now, who's very confused.
Can you just imagine another part of this movie where he's just still there, stuck at the office waiting for her to come back, and he's already taken off to the lake house, and the boyfriend who I don't have his name, Morgan, was just sitting there in the office, like looking at his watch, like, I really got to go back to work, but she just took off. I wonder if she's coming back.
Do I call her on her cell phone or do I just let this go?
Do I send her an email? So
yeah, and that's the dude from Congo, right? The guy that plays the reason they go to Congo. The guy that dies at the beginning. Oh no, that was Bruce Campbell. No, he's the guy. The boyfriend in this is the guy in Congo that gets the leech on his dick.
Yeah. Is it Dylan Walsh? Not that I don't believe you, but
yeah, Dr. Peter Elliott.
I just don't. I don't have Congo fresh in my brain, so it's gonna give you a second.
The legendary horror film Congo.
It's literally the first movie in his known for the IMDb. Okay, because I guess the leech on the dick was really like put him on
legendary
the map.
Horror film Congo about a group of people that decide to invade this poor ecosystem's thing and kill a bunch of monkeys that are just trying to defend their fucking home. But let's make them the bad guys.
Yeah, they don't even have like Nip Tuck, which was like a way bigger, I thought a bigger show, right? That was like what I thought he was most known for. Yeah. Nip Tuck, I don't know.
I saw a few episodes. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. But so he gets the shaft. He's out.
He gets complete
super
shaft.
Super lucky.
He's probably looking for that girl's number.
Super lucky because he was probably going to get murdered by these psychopaths that found each other via mail.
Good riddance. Good riddance, these
via
two.
Via haunted mailbox.
Murderers deserve each other.
Haunted mailbox that gets a boner every time it's filled with letters.
Yeah. The little thing goes up every time it climaxes, like, the little
and it's even spookier how her like ESP kicks into high gear when she's walking into her office and she's like, I swear there's letters underneath this floorboard. Let me just kick around until a floorboard pops up.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure that one out. I was like, I guess she got frustrated with the squeak or something. Like, that doesn't happen in wood houses all the fucking time.
I don't know. That was a weird one. That was a weird out of nowhere thing, right?
Yeah. She's like, oh,
he put that.
The floorboard came up. What's underneath here? Like, she could totally see it because there was a light under there, I guess.
Let me stick my head into this dark hole in my apartment.
I'm sure there's no critters or bugs or grubs down here. Not in my home. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is, is a master architect who like just knew how to actually sneak into a job site, stick a bag, a thing there for her to only find 2 years later. He never told her what unit she was on. But he
could figure it out on his own time. He had all the time in the world to stalk her, really. Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to build this one condo room. And within 2 years of tomorrow, there's going to be a creak on the floor. Like that. That's what he did. Because he's a master architect.
It's fucked up. Master architect there. That's a weird detail that. Because earlier they did the really sweet thing where like he plants a tree in his time and it grows to cover her when it was raining. Yeah. So,
or is it creepy?
This just seems like a step too far. This is some. I don't know. I thought it was kind of sweet, but I mean the whole sticking of the book in the apartment 2 years in the past was kind of fucking weird. That was a step too far. He could have just put it in the box for her. Which is what I think she asked.
She's been asking for him to put it in the box, and he's just like, just wait 2 years, baby. I'll put it in the box.
So, okay. This is where we're going to get really scientific. So if he were to like get his junk and put it in the box, does it go 2 years in the future?
I got to stop real quick. Have you listened to the How Did This Get Made? I haven't heard it in like a couple of years, but I do remember they did the lake house. I was like, oh, the lake house. And Jason Manzoukas asked the same exact fucking question. And they, And they decided, let's see if we agree, that they totally could have been bumping uglies the entire time if they just kind of pressed against each other.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. But the only flaw is I think you really have to close the thing. To close, which would be the hard part. So, like, if he really wanted to put his dick in there, you'd have to chop it off. So he only gets one shot at the dick.
You just remove the front, the flap, right? And then you just kind of shove your crotch in there until it's completely covered.
So he cuts a hole in the back of the mailbox, closes it as he inserts his junk.
Exactly.
What happens then?
You know, so it, like, on one side, the flag goes up, and then once the flag goes down, does Keanu go, oh, you know, who knows?
Or maybe he sends a couple of toys, sex toy situation.
Polaroids or something.
Put these on. Take a picture.
And this is what I look like. Like, how about you show me what you look like? And then she'll be like, no. And it'll be like, oh, that's cool. Can you get rid of those photos? Or you can keep them, whatever you want to do. Damn.
Those photos are gone. Those photos are definitely gone. It's like, yeah, she did mention she didn't have bad hair then, so. I think she has bad hair in this, this whole
movie. And I'm just surprised that nobody's ever followed them to, like, the lake house to be, or nobody's ever seen this happen, this interaction. And the brother just accepts that his older brother is crazy or something.
I know. To be fair, you seem very, like, he was traumatized by, like, an abusive dad who, like, shunned to their mother. And an absent brother, so he probably had nobody.
Yeah, he seemed real sad until he grew his hair out a little bit more, slicked it back, became a real piece of shit. I'm just kidding. Because now he's got a girlfriend, but still questionable because you only know he has a girlfriend 2 years before. And then he doesn't age a day.
I don't think it's very smart. He's dating a coworker. Not very smart and employing her. There must be some kind of laws, HIPAA laws or something about.
Not in the world of the ghost mailbox of the lake house. Ghost mailbox is trying to be Cupid Zero for everyone. Except for Sandra's boyfriend and Keanu's coworker. They get nobody now. Each of them get nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like Keanu Reeves and Sandy Bullock were, like, completely unlikable people. I don't understand why they had people falling all over them, chasing them in their life. They seemed like they deserved each other. Like, they were, like, really awful people. Cold, distant.
Couple of shitty people. Know. Yeah.
They were willing to be in relationships that you know, didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, they're going to... I'm waiting for the follow-up, The Lake House 2, where it's just they decide to live in different countries to try this out again, this long-distance mail thing.
Their relationship kind of sizzled out, and now they're going to try to recapture it by getting the mailbox. Yeah, interesting. Okay, so I got a little last paragraph here. At the lake house, Kate drops... to her knees sobbing. I used to get sexy now. Fearing that she has arrived too late to stop Alex. After a long pause, the mailbox flag finally lowers. Alex picked up her note. Not long afterwards, a familiar mint green truck pulls up. She walks forward, smiling as a driver, clad in jeans and a familiar tan jacket. It was very specific. Approaches, she and Alex kiss and walk toward the lake house. So
the...
And
fuck everybody else in the movie. As long as they're happy finally talking again and again. Oh, man. What a wild movie. What a wild ride.
But. Absolutely, yeah.
Scary.
Crazy, crazy stuff. I think this movie still kind of works because even though it's, like, very dumb and unplausible, I really think that Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock have great chemistry together. movie star chemistry together.
We'll see.
You know,
ratings.
I don't know. What do you think?
We're gonna have to see with our ratings.
You and we. So when we were doing our, we have now completed our house series here.
Yes, with the legendary. You know, the the pinnacle of house movies.
When everyone thinks horror house movies, they think The Lake House.
The Lake House.
So this movie did, what did you think before you rewatched it? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
That I was excited to watch an old friend again. Written by somebody that was a very important era of my life when I still was really into playwrights. David Auburn was one of my favorites.
Oh. You said he wrote Proof. What else did he write? I'm unfamiliar besides Proof. Anything else?
The Rabbit Hole, I believe.
Oh, The Rabbit Hole. I think I saw both those movie adaptations and actively thought both were boring. Is that correct?
It's a little rough. It's a little tough with, I think, like, his plays don't, you know, they don't really translate all that well. I could be wrong about The Rabbit Hole. I'm probably wrong about The Rabbit Hole.
Who wrote that? Okay. Just, which one's Proof? That's like a mathematician who's crazy or something? I
don't... Yeah, that was one of Claire Danes and Jake Gyllenhaal, I think.
But they did the movie version of that?
Yes.
Oh shit! Maybe I haven't seen that movie. I was totally thinking something else. Hold on. It was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Jake Gyllenhaal. So I remember Anthony Hopkins being in it. That's the only thing I remember. I didn't remember Gwyneth Paltrow or Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep. So I'm wrong about it. I think realistically, Proof is probably the only big play David Auburn's ever done.
He also did the Charlie's Angels remake.
That's true. He was the original David Ayers. Or what's his name? David... What's his fucking name? David Lindsay Abair was the guy that wrote The Rabbit Hole, and I don't know why I got that wrong.
Two Davids.
Yeah.
Two Davids.
All the Davids. All white guys.
Alrighty. John, let's go to our ratings. Do you have any last thoughts?
No, I'm ready to give my rating for after rewatching it.
Oh, we survived The Lake House. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
After rewatching an old favorite, I unfortunately have to give this silly fucking film 9.5 sexy spooky bones.
Whoa. Damn. That's really high.
like I wasn't gonna, every time these things that I'm poking fun of right now, like I wasn't, oh, you cute fucks. Just getting a little teary eyed on the couch alone, just like, wow, these romantic bitches.
Yeah, this is I also think a really romantic movie. It's a really sweet romantic movie that has time travel, which I think sometimes whatever.
But whatever. We don't understand kind of time travel. They had Pym particles. So what I was also going to mention, I think this is one of the first times I saw Keanu Reeves and was like, holy shit, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't think of anything before that too much. Because like Point Break and like Speed and all those, like he's good, but he's being action Keanu. Which doesn't take a whole lot
of effort. What did you think about him in What You Do About Nothing, the Kenneth Branagh adaptation? He was pretty good at that.
No, I don't think I saw it. He was a Dogberry, right? No, that was Michael Keaton.
Yes. No. Yeah. He was the villain. He was Hugo, wasn't it? He was the bad guy.
Yes. Much Ado About Noting. No, I need to watch it. I think I never saw it. Because I think when that movie came out, we had just wrapped up doing our Mexican version or FNM.
Spanish War.
Yeah.
Beautiful set. Beautiful set, by the way.
Yeah.
Designed by Tom Grabowski. Excellent set.
Gorgeous set.
I think that was probably one of my favorite sets he ever made. It was that one. It was a good one.
That was a lot of fun. That was a fun play. Trying to make it just more Latin inspired. adapted and directed by a white guy, but a very lovely man. R.I.P. He was such a fun guy.
Yeah.
But
also a Chapa movie, a Chapa play we all did together.
That's true. Yep.
Chapa.
Because I played Dogberry or Perro Baya. And it's like a bumbling drunk.
I just remember, okay, because I worked, so to kind of explain, so they did Much Ado About Nothing, or Nada, right? It was a running joke. Much Ado About Nada. I worked the show. I don't remember what I did. I did something. I think I was like one of the assistant directors. I remember I had to tell somebody that her scene was up, but she never was in place. It always frustrated me. But anyways, I think I was the AD. I think I was. Yeah, Rick Rosales was in it. George Chapa was in it. Was he? I think he played the Keanu part. Who played the Keanu part?
God, I don't remember. I wish I could pull up a playbill. I know I could. I just don't want to go through all that trouble to find it.
I know. I don't want to go through any of that trouble right now. I just remember working on it, and then the director, I vividly remember during some of the rehearsals, some of the walkthroughs before the show, he would tell you constantly, "You're not funny anymore." Keep telling you, "You're not funny."
Oh my god!
And you being "What do you want to do?" You're like, he kept telling you, "It's not funny. It's not funny.
You're not funny anymore." Yeah, and he would do it in front of everyone, right?
He would stop the play because you just sat around a lot before tech and everything. We would just go through scenes and stuff. And when he got to use, it was funny the first couple of times. And I think after a while, once you rehearse it, it kind of just, when you're doing a comedy bit so many times, it's not funny. I mean, you see it so many times, it's like you laugh less, right?
And
the people who have seen it.
I personally start to need more elements to kind of really flesh out the character. So I was like, I was getting stagnant because we were just sitting around doing it, right? I remember that for a long time was a lot of that, just sitting around and just rehearsing, sitting. And then when we finally get into the movements, I felt a little into it. And then when I put that fucking costume on and I just went full on. And I think that's when finally he was like, "You're funny again." And then everybody was being a real dick and started clapping for me. I think he thought that they were clapping for me, but I was like, "You guys are just being asses right now. Fine. I'm funny again."
That is true. One of our, I'll go ahead and finish.
I was just going to say, I do also remember, I mean, that fucking worked because when we were doing the run of the play, I remember one night in particular, cause I mean, I always got an applause. Everybody gets an applause. But one night in particular, when I went out there, there was like this fucking, like everybody like started standing and clapping and Rick Rosales. Like it wasn't like a thunderous thing, but everyone was like, woo! And Rick Rosales after the play, like we go into the dressing room and he comes up right after me and he's like, oh, so we got a funny man out there, huh? Got a funny man getting all the applause, huh? Funny guy.
Yeah, because it had to be about Rick. It all had to be about Rick. Yeah.
I do miss that guy. We used to fuck with each other a lot.
No, yeah, Rick was really fun. He was really super nerdy.
Yes.
I just remember we would sit and talk about Star Trek nonstop.
You're super nerdy.
Not Star Wars.
Love
Star
sick.
Trek. Yeah.
Yeah. Love sick. He was also, I remember he reminded me of like John Sheck. That thing you do, and then he's been in DC Universe Jonah Hex.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That
yeah.
guy. I was like, oh man, Rick Rosales looks like this guy. So he's always gotta have a girlfriend or something, and I was like, no.
Yeah, no, it was That's a funny memory. He just constantly told you, you're not funny anymore.
Yeah, you're not funny. I was like, fuck, dude.
Anyways, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give it 5 sexy spooky bones.
Wow. You don't believe in love anymore?
I don't believe in love, no.
I'm telling your partner. I'm texting them right now.
Please don't. No, I mean, there's things I like about it. The time travel thing just killed me this time. I don't know why. Maybe if I watch it a different time, it'll hit me differently. But this, at this point, the time travel stuff was like a chore for me to sit through. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky!
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to